You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. Thank you so much for staying with us from 6 p.m. this evening. And time now to get into our very, very important feature, which is, of course, our Personal Finance Monday. And this is where we bring you different topics that are related to your money. And you do know that for me, personally, conversations about money keep me very, very excited. And today is a no different. But I'd like to hear from you on +27734703520. That is +27734703520. If you don't know that number by now, my question then is, Vavasye, where have you been? Because by now, you should know this number. On the line, my guest this evening, it is Utsu Ngaye. Of course, not a new person to this show. We always appreciate her insights. And so she's joining us this evening. We're talking about, of course, personal banking tips. Personal banking tips. I think I should have gotten this conversation before I chose, you know, some of the decisions I made about banking, particularly for myself, but here we are, right? We can learn and do better. But understanding basic bank services can help you make a better financial decision. So today, we'll be learning some tips about personal banking for different groups, particularly for those of you who are students, who are millennials, who are entrepreneurs. Hey, and the newlyweds ones as well. Yeah, so hopefully they are listening as well. That will help us, of course, to understand the banking business better and create better financial habits and, of course, better financial decisions. And she's joining us on the line. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tapelo. Good evening to your wonderful listeners.
Ah, how are you today?
I am magnificent.
Ah, fantastic. You know, that magnificent is what I need right now, so that I'm also magnificent.
Just for the two of us, I know what you mean.
Exactly. Eh? No one must know. No one must know. It's just for the two of us.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much once again, ma'am. Really appreciate your time and joining us this evening, talking about a very, very important topic. Like I said, I think if I had gotten this conversation before I made some of my own decisions about personal banking, I think I would have chosen differently, because these things tend to be quite complicated. And do you agree, first of all, before we get into the nick of things, that I think banking institutions make these things difficult for us, isn't it?
I don't want to believe so.
Okay.
You can make it easier for yourself by becoming literate, which is why we're here today.
Ah, okay. Okay. So the onus lies on me to make it easier for myself.
Yes. It's like school is not hard. You must just study.
Ah, Mara, school is hard sometimes. Yo.
No.
Okay, I'm going to take that one. School is not hard. I just need to make sure that I study. Okay. Personal banking tips. Is this kind of education necessary, I suppose, for the average Joe that's on the street? Or is it only for those, I suppose, in a particular income bracket?
I think understanding banking and the different banking solutions out there is for everyone.
For everyone.
Because it's like having porridge. There's porridge for young ones. There's porridge for your middle-aged children. There's porridge for adults.
Yeah.
So same thing with financial institutions and the products that they offer. Some of them are tailored to specific LSMs or income-generating groups of the society. So you want to make sure that you are actually banking with the right bank that provides you with the right kind of services at your level of affordability, as well as based on the needs you need satisfied at that stage in your life.
In terms of the needs that you have. So it has nothing to do with how much I earn. Is that what you're saying, if I'm understanding you quite correctly?
To some extent, it actually does. Because
okay.
If you're a student, you don't really have a lot of income generating activities outside of maybe the money you're getting from NASFAS or the money you're getting from your parents, your sisters, your brothers, is pocket money.
Yeah.
So in that particular instance, you want a very, very, very economic bank where probably the banking fees are zero, or you get charged per transaction. If you're an entrepreneur, on the other hand, again, you're looking for something that charges you either a monthly fixed fee or something that's per transaction, depending on the volume of transactions you actually incur. So income actually an important consideration in terms of choosing the kind of bank account you settle for.
Lest I find myself paying more than I can actually afford and maybe even not reaping the benefits, because if I understand very well what you're saying, you know, there's certain bank accounts that come with certain benefits for certain income groups, right? And those people in those income groups are the ones that can, I suppose, leverage the benefits that come with that particular bank account, that if you don't earn in that range, then you won't be able to benefit.
Definitely. So if I take, for example, your gold account or your premier banking account, those bank accounts come with facilities like airport lounges. It will come with things like your fast lane in terms of checking in at the airport. So if you're not going even to Cape Town, from Cape Town to Durban using a flight, why do you have that service and why are you being charged for it?
So you're paying for nothing, basically, that you're not using.
You are paying for nothing. For the black card, so that your friends can be like, wow, when you take it out at the shops.
And then you go home and you're like, yeah, but this is 250 rand a month. This thing is very expensive for me and I don't use them.
You hear me.
Exactly. So benefits then, because before we unpack, I suppose, some of the tips, but what are the benefits of understanding a little bit deeper? Because like I think, maybe I'm wrong, like you're saying earlier on, because I feel like there's a level of education that banking institutions are not doing, right? And you're saying, well, the onus is on me to understand and, you know, get a clearer understanding of the bank account that I am particularly using. So benefits, what am I getting for understanding how this works?
So with everything, I always say you must be getting value. And most banks actually have the information on their website.
Okay.
But people are not forthcoming, or they're not interested in investing in that knowledge by reading through the basic services offered for an account, how much it costs, etc. So you must invest in knowledge, invest in understanding. So if you are comparing three different bank accounts, because most banks will have, say, for example, an entry level. So you want to compare bank A, bank B, bank C in terms of the entry level offering, and go onto their websites. They've got pricing information. They've got terms and conditions.
Yeah.
They've got indications of what extra perks you get from being part of that specific bank account. So just invest a little bit of time, but also understand your needs. I always say to my clients, if you're a student, there's no need for you to be having a gold account. All you need is a student account. They are called student accounts for a reason. Because they've bundled a specific level of value for a student based on the quality of transactions they have at that stage in their life. If you're now transitioning from being a student to being a professional, once you're a professional, your needs are also changing. Now you want to build a credit score. Now you want to buy a house. You want to buy a car. And I always say, think about the services you're going to be needing in the next 3 to 5 years. So, for example, if I want to apply for a home loan, I'm not going to go for a bank that doesn't actually offer home loans. Because remember, your credit history is important. Your banking history is important. So I want a bank that actually will receive my salary for the next 24 months while they can see that I do have the income that will leverage my application. They've also got my transactional data, so they can see very clearly how do I spend money on a monthly basis. They've got an understanding of how much credit I have. They have an understanding of how soon I pay my payment, my debt. So they've got transactional history on me. So before you make that decision, if you're a young professional, understand what services do I need in the next 3 to 5 years? Which type of banks allow me to get preferential rates because I'm banking with them as a student? And when I transition, I get better perks. So understand your needs. And once you understand your needs, you then do that analysis, like I said, to see what do different banks offer for that life stage and where I'm going to be transitioning or finding myself in the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, talking about credit scores, because I think that's what everyone, you know, wants to work towards bettering, so that you are favorable when you now transition, I suppose, to become a professional. You're just getting to your job and all that. Are there certain banking services that can help one to build my credit score? So in other words, are there certain banking services that I should avoid while I'm trying to maybe build my credit score to transition into, saying, buying a house when I'm now working, or buying a car and all those sort of stuff? Are there certain banking accounts? Because I'm told that savings accounts, for example, don't help you with your credit score.
Savings accounts. I don't know where you heard that one from. You definitely needed this conversation.
Okay.
But
yeah.
So remember, what is a credit score?
Yeah.
A credit score really is a rating that helps the creditor or the financial institution understand how credit worthy you are as an individual.
Yeah.
So what then happens is they look at, like I said, your transactional history.
Yeah.
But they also look at the kind of debt you have.
Okay.
So is it a mixture between personal loans, credit cards, revolving loans?
Yeah.
Is it a combination of motor vehicle loans?
Yeah.
Is it a combination of mortgages?
Yeah. Okay.
And you want to have more secured lending compared to unsecured lending.
Okay.
So the secured lending is the one that has got an asset backing it. For example,
yes,
your home loan. Okay.
Yes.
So they'll look at the mix of debt you have. But they also look at the utilization.
Yes.
Are you always at 100% borrowing for each and every line of debt you have?
Sure.
That also impacts your credit score, and it impacts it negatively. So if I've got a credit card and it's always at 19,000 and my limit is at 19,000, it's a red flag to the bank. It's actually impact your credit score. But if it's at 100% for my credit card, and it's 100% for my personal loan, and it's 100% for my mortgage, then that's also a big red flag, because it means that you're actually taking out debt and just surviving on debt. So to build a credit score, what I actually encourage clients is take out a simple cell phone contract.
Mm.
Because remember, when you're actually building a credit score, all the bank needs to see is you've got a credit somewhere and you actually pay it on time.
Mm.
You are also paying the right amount and you are consistent.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be taking debt that's unsecured. Now it's actually secured lending, because you've got a phone at the end of your 24-month contract.
Yeah.
And this is something that's actually improving your own usage.
Yeah.
You have an asset at the end of the 24 months, but you've been able to actually build your credit history.
Ah.
So I think it's important to help people realize there's so many ways of skinning the cat.
Yes.
You don't need a credit card
to
build your credit score necessarily.
Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting. There's my little bit of knowledge gone out the window. So I thought, you know, these savings accounts are useless. Don't take a savings account, because it's not going to help you with your credit score and all that. So it seems like it's transactions and utilization that is really important. Sorry, I came in there.
Yeah, so I actually wanted to say what your savings account helps to do is to just help reinforce that you've got good savings habits, or you've got a good habit in terms of your use of cash. Because if you can actually save, it means you're living below your means, actually.
Yes.
Because if at the end of each month I earn 30,000 rand, but I can actually save 2,000 rand, and I can consistently show that to the bank, you are actually more credit worthy or you are more bankable than the person who's earning 30,000 and spending the full 30,000. So it does help to have some form of savings or assets, because it demonstrates to the bank that you are a potentially better client than the person who's living off debt only.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I'm taking that with me, definitely. Okay. Talking about then the tips that you might have as we draw to a close, for the different audiences that are listening, from students, senior citizens, I suppose, you know, professionals and all those sort of stuff. What would be your suite of advice to them on banking services?
Your value.
If you
can find someone who's giving you cash back, if you can find loyalty points, or if you have a bank that's got good integrated rewards, that is also a plus.
Yeah.
So I know that I've got one bank specifically. They offer us an American Express card.
Oh, nice.
And when you actually swipe your American Express card, you get double the points you would for every swipe.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
So you need to actually understand what is your spending pattern.
Mm.
If you're someone who only swipes maybe once or twice a month, then that's probably not the right account for you.
Yeah.
But if you do a lot of swiping, for example, myself, I've got a family, and you run out of things like milk, you run out of things like bread, and you need to top up quite consistently, then it's a fantastic opportunity for me to double up on my points and my loyalty points. So find a bank that gives you A, what you need, focused it for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
But if you can also find a bank that offers you good quality rewards for transacting with them, that's also a bonus in the package.
Yes, those rewards, I must tell you, you know, those loyalty points do come in very handy.
You know, I was actually looking at my balance. I was telling you about this bank that gives me these loyalty points.
Yeah.
And I looked at the account the other day. I'm like, I could actually do my monthly grocery with this
amount. Look at that.
So it does add up.
No, it does add up. I mean, I must be honest with you. Where I use them, I'm like, sure, I've saved a few bucks here because I would have spent that money. And there's no shame, by the way, in utilizing and taking advantage of those rewards that come with this. Because there's this thing here, you know, that we have, I suppose, we class each other and all those sort of stuff. Oh, you're buying with points. In America, in the West, points are like the next best thing after cash.
Hey, do you know, I've seen on media, people actually cut out coupons.
Exactly.
And go and shop with coupons.
Yeah.
Okay, our coupons are a bit smarter because they are online and they're already in the banking system.
So people shouldn't be shy about these things. We should actually, they are there and they come as benefits with that particular bank account that you have there. Okay, thank you so much, ma'am. Any last words to our listeners, especially on these things? Value, value, value. That's what I heard from you.
Yes, and I think another thing that I also pick up, people have multiple bank accounts. Where they got the idea that if you are earning X, you must have 3 or 4 bank accounts. I have no idea. Keep it lean. If you've got a bank account and you're paying 100 rand here, you're paying another 250 there, you're paying another 200 rand there, I feel it's actually unnecessary spend.
Because if
you take the time and effort to actually do the investigation about value and where you're going to get the best outcome from a banking institution, that normally just requires you to have the one bank account.
Yeah.
And as your needs progress, you can actually just upgrade. So instead of having one Capitec account, one FNB, one Standard Bank, one Absa, bank accounts all over, like children. Just have one and utilize it to the maximum capacity and value it can provide you.
Bank accounts all over like children. I love that analogy.
You know which race I'm talking about.
I know it exactly. But I always found that phenomenon also quite interesting, that people will have 3, 4, 5 different accounts. And sometimes we have to move money from this account to that one. Whereas you could have like a savings and investment account in the same bank, you know, and same account. You can just, you don't have to move it across.
And I think another important thing that you just added there, the banks are also becoming quite smart in terms of the value and the offers they give clients. So I know there are some banks that will even have like a kitty or a pocket or a savings, a wallet, where again, you can start looking at putting some money aside. Think of your needs, okay? If you want to start the habit of saving or the discipline of saving, if you can't commit to a unit trust or an ETF just yet, start with your savings pocket. So that means you need a transactional account that has got that little wallet or that little pocket where you can then start putting your 100 rand. After 6 months, you can increase it to 200 rand. And that's, again, that value added, those value added services we're talking about. That be smarter about the banking solutions you're looking for, but understand your needs first and go for the bank account that gives you the best value for the amount of money you're paying.
Yeah, sure. Think about your transition as you move across, I suppose, the different income brackets as well. Thank you so much, ma'am. I really, really appreciate your time between you and I. Really appreciate your time. And I hope you have a beautiful evening and we appreciate your insights.
It's always a pleasure moving forward together.
Definitely with you there. Thank you so much, ma'am. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, the Utsungai talking to us this evening about the different personal banking suites, I suppose, that are available, right? And if I, you know, was to just sum up what she said, she made an analogy with porridge. There's porridge for adults. There's porridge for young people. There's porridge also for infants, children, and all those sort of stuff, which are really, really important, right? So we've had those. And then she says, understand what your needs are. As a student, understand what your banking needs are. As a young professional, understand what your banking needs are. As an executive or whatever the case might be, also understand what your banking needs are, right? And as you understand those, then look for value. Look for value. Look for bank account that can give you value so that you can maximize on, of course, the benefits that come with that one. And what I really, really liked there is use your loyalty points. If they offer loyalty points, use them. There's absolutely no shame at all in utilizing those loyalty points. I can tell you now, they add up. They do come in very handy at some stage, right? And, you know, you sort of get your money back. You sort of get your money back. For example, there was this particular gym company. I won't mention the name. You know, they haven't paid for this. But I won't mention the name. You get certain rewards for meeting certain milestones every week. And if you take the value of that milestone, you start realizing that actually, I'm not paying that much. You know, I'm not paying Y. I'm actually paying X. I'm actually paying W, because the difference between Y and W and X and whatever is what you're getting paid in loyalty points. And at the same time, you're also benefiting by going to gym and all those sort of stuff. So I hope we can take advantage of these loyalty points, right? Because they are really there and we pay for them. They come with the banking suites, right? They come with that bank account and all this. So we're going to pay for them. So love it, love it, love it there. That was Utsu Ngai there talking to us about personal banking tips. We love her insights, and we definitely appreciate it. And we hope that God continues to bless her and her work and her ministry as well. But I'd like to hear from you. +27734703520. That is +27734703520 on your own banking products experience, right? How are you navigating that particular space? I'd like to hear from you. And of course, that number is +27734703520.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.